This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad this morning. How about you? I'm so grateful for the leadership here, the congregation, for the invite. It was always good to be with people that I consider to be family. That's y'all. People that I consider to be family. You know, this congregation is always going to be a special place, and it'll hold a special place in my heart. Because you all are here. There's a word from the Lord this morning, and I pray that we can all glean something from that word. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God in heaven, this again we approach your throne. Father, we're so very grateful for this another opportunity that you've given to us to come into your house on your day, Father. We pray that everything that we do here this morning will be pleasing unto your sight. Father, we ask you just now as we go into this period of study into your word in more detail, Father, that we would be able to open up our hearts to those things that you have to say. Father, please bless my mouth and the words you placed on my heart and the ears of those who be listening, that they be receptive. Father, that we could all be spurred on to be better people for you and better service in your kingdom. These and all of our blessings we ask in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Let the church say, amen. I appreciate Uncle Wesley for reading that text this morning, and I won't read it again, but just to give some context. So we think about this particular text, and we think about the time of our text. The scripture tells us that Paul was in serious trouble, so much trouble that it placed his life and the lives of others around him in danger. For we're told that they were on a small ship caught up in the midst of a storm. Now, this was no normal storm like we may consider to be a storm. The language being used here indicates that the ship was up against a typhoon. And given the type of ship being a single mass cargo ship, it was no match for such a massive and severe storm. But this was not Paul's only trouble. We're aware that he had trouble before they encountered the storm. He had already been arrested, and he was on his way to Rome to stand trial. And now he's on a ship caught in the midst of a turbulent and life-threatening storm, which was even more trouble. So, you know, we always make parallels to the stories that we read here in the Bible, and this one got me to thinking. Isn't life just like this sometimes? Before we can put one problem to rest, here comes another. I can tell you from my own experience that the problems of life can sometimes come upon us, and before we can get one thing straightened out, we're bombarded with another. And no one can better attest to that fact than Job. Job, as you may recall, faced a series of problems that came one behind another. He hadn't gotten over the trauma and the awesome impact of the first problem before he was hit with another. And before he could even come to grips with the first and second problem, he was then assaulted by a third. And the problems just kept on coming. Sometimes life is just like that old saying. You might have heard it before. When it rains, y'all had heard it before. Okay. And for that reason, Job said in Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And as it was with Job, so it was here in the text. We find Paul in major trouble. As we've heard many times before, just because you're a child of God doesn't mean that you won't have trouble. I hate to break y'all's hearts this morning. I know that was the conventional thinking amongst us all, right? No, you know I know better than that. So the question we must answer this morning is not, will storms come, but how should we respond when the storms come? And just in case there's somebody here this morning who finds themselves in the midst of a storm, I submit to you the title of my lesson this morning. Don't give up in the storm. Don't give up in the storm. This morning, I'd like to share three lessons that we can learn from this chapter in the life of the Apostle Paul that I believe can serve as tools that can and will help us when we encounter our individual storms. The first thing we can learn is that they did not listen. They did not listen. Now, before they set sail from the island of Crete, Paul had already told the captain, "I don't think you ought to make this trip, at least not now. I hope you will wait a little longer. I know the itinerary. I know that there are prisoners, in addition to myself, that you have to deliver to various places. But I wish you would wait a little while." So something else is going on here that I don't think we've ever even thought about on this ship. Another strange occurrence. The prisoner is slowly and surely gaining credibility and will soon become the commander of the ship. There's something about a good leader that happens when there's a difficult trial. What do? They lead. When a trial comes, good leaders rise to the top. They don't shrink back, but stand firm and lead out of danger and trouble. Paul said, "I perceive that it would be life-threatening if you set sail right now." But the captain disregarded what Paul had to say. Believe it or not, there are many in our day and time that ignore the things the preacher has to say. I know you all won't believe this, but there are those who frequent the pew Sunday after Sunday who are not listening to a thing that is being preached. You do know that some people are at church, but they're not really in church. Here, but they're not really. We all know that you get out of worship what you put in. So there's a danger in missing the message. So often, the warning is given, but because we're not listening, we find ourselves in stormy situations. I can go beyond the preacher and say that there are people in here right now who wish they had listened to their mother, their father, their grandmother, their grandfather, when they said not to do something, right? Not only because of the bigger consequence that they received from whatever it was, the wisdom that they were provided, but also because, I don't know about you all, but when I was growing up, you know, I received something called instant feedback. You know, has anybody ever had any instant feedback? You know, things don't necessarily have to wait until you get home or to the car. And, you know, my father was, he was the police. So there was none of this, you know, we're going to call, you know, child services or, you know, we're going to call the police. He was the police, right? But, you know, there are times when I was growing up where I wish that I had listened when they said not to do something. So not only did they miss the message, but they also departed too soon. From our scripture, it's hard to really criticize the captain too much. I mean, if I'm being honest, there are times in my life where I probably departed too soon. So what constitutes departing or launching out too soon? It can be broken down simply as this. You're launching out too soon when you do something before God says do it. When you jump into something without God's endorsement, without his direction, and without his blessing. That's moving too soon. So the question I ask is, are we asking for God's guidance before the decisions that we make? Are we praying for his wisdom, right? We know that he knows best. He knows better than we could ever imagine. Are we praying for his guidance before we make the decisions that we make? In fact, sometimes what we want to do, God doesn't have it for us at all. We alluded to this morning in our Bible study. When we think about what we pray for and God's response, it may not be in God's will for our life. And then sometimes, although he has it for us, he doesn't have it for us right now. Because he knows us better than we know ourselves. And for that reason, he knows when our spiritual level is where it needs to be. You know, that car that you've been praying for, right? You may not have it because he's saying, you want that nice car, but you don't even take care of the one that I gave you, right? And you're saying, but God, if it's not running right, right? That's why I need another one. But sometimes we don't take care of the blessings that he gave us, but we're asking for more. You know, I remember a conversation that I had with someone when my father was ill. Of course, you know, he battled with cancer for a little bit of time. And I remember distinctly the conversation, you know, because this is just along the lines of when we pray for things and we know what we want, but it's not necessarily always God's will for us. You know, I remember praying for his healing, you know, and for him to get better, for his situation to change, right? Because I still felt like in my mind there was still so much that we had to do. There's still so much we had to talk about. And at that time, my children were very young. And well, they're still very young, but they were younger. But I remember him saying, there's things that you're going to understand about being a dad once you have kids, right? And so I had kids, but they were still very young. And I felt like there were still so many things that he and I had to talk about, right? But I realized that that wasn't part of God's will, you know? And I was just thinking about this the other day because, of course, a couple weeks ago was Father's Day. And I thought about how, man, I wish he was here so I could talk to him about all these different things that are going on, right? And the light bulb went off because I realized that even though he's not physically here, I realized that he equipped me with so many tools to handle what I needed to handle, to take care of what I needed to take care of before he departed us. But I realized that it's oftentimes like when we see certain situations happen in the news, for example, the cargo ship that hit the bridge there in Baltimore, right? That's just one example. But you realize that certain situations that we come across, they go from rescue missions to recovery missions. I'm looking at Brother Brian because I know he understands all about this in his line of work, you know. But it may not necessarily be about saving the people as much as it is recovering their bodies, right? That wasn't the prayer. The prayer was to rescue the people, right? So we realize, this is just an example, that there's a difference oftentimes in what we ask for and what we receive. But I want to make this part clear, though. We've got to understand this morning that just because our prayer to God is not what we get in return, that doesn't mean that he cannot do what we ask him for. Okay, I want to be clear about that, because a lot of times people who may be outside of the faith, they don't understand that concept. Well, this God that you serve, if you pray to him, and he's supposed to give you what you ask for, the desires of your heart, well, why didn't he give you what you asked for, right? But we also understand that God's plan is not ours. And if I look at my dad, for example, if I knew God's plan for his life, I wouldn't even be able to understand it. You know, his ways are not our ways. God may know that we haven't matured in Christ, or that we're not really ready to launch out right now. Therefore, while it may be true that the Lord has this for you, it could be that it's just not right now. But because they refused to listen, they launched out too soon. And shortly after their launching, they fell into the midst of a raging storm. Now, this storm is identified in verse 14 of the King James Version as it was referenced as the Euroclodon. This was an awful storm that could be categorized as the granddaddy of all storms. It was a wind of great fury that came out of the northeast. It came howling like 10,000 wolves. The sound of it was eerie, frightening, and would do terrible things to the waves. It would aggravate the sea. It would cause the sea to become rough and turbulent. And the ships that were caught in this typhoon-like situation found themselves being kicked like footballs from one wave to the other. And the giant waves that were higher than the ship would beat against the ship. Water would splash upon those on board. And the men on board the ship would be rolling about and tossed to and fro like marbles on a concrete floor and rising up and down like a seesaw. You with me? That was quite descriptive, right? They were in this life-threatening situation all because they didn't listen and they launched out too soon. But to make matters worse, the storm lasted a long time. Okay? A long time. This storm didn't just last a few days. It lasted 14 days to be exact. Now, can you imagine a storm? What we know, most of us, our best frame of reference would be a hurricane. I think I saw a news alert this morning that there's a Category 3 hurricane forming right now. Beryl is the name. But can you imagine a storm lasting for 14 days? Now, we hear of a slow mover, right? I think I've learned, just for what it's worth, I don't want that kind of storm right now, but I wouldn't mind the rain. I think I appreciate things like that now as I gotten older, you know, as I come through the neighborhood and I'm looking at the grass, you know, because that's what dads do. You know, we look at grass with, you know, judgmentally, you know, and I'm looking and, you know, oh, so-and-so, see, I bet they wish they hadn't cut that grass all low. Now look how brown it is, right? And so I'm out there with my sprinkler, you know, and I'm thinking, man, I remember we were at Alicia's grandmother's house. This was about a week or so ago, and it started raining. I was so excited. I'm thinking, my mom was at the house with the kids, and I thought, I got home, and I said, Mom, did y'all get rain here? You know, because I needed rain at my house, too. And she said, yeah, it rained a little bit. I was so disappointed, you know, because I needed rain. But I want rain, but I don't know if I want this kind of storm. Right. This, from what I'm describing and what I'm reading, this was bad. This was bad. When it first started, the crew members hoped with all that was in them that it would soon pass over. But it didn't. So what is the parallel for us today? There's somebody here this morning that's in a storm right now. And it's not one of those fast movers. You know how when you look at like the weather app, or you look at the news and you see it says, you know, from this period of time, it'll be raining or it'll be a storm coming through, or you see different warnings. This wasn't that kind of storm. Somebody's here going through a storm right now that it's been around for a while. You've been in it for a long time, and you hope so much that it would soon pass over. But here it is, still raging. And in some of our lives, rather than the storm getting better, in spite of all of our prayers, in spite of all that we've done, the storm is still raging, and it's getting worse. The storms of life can come in so many ways. Storms can get in your home and cause turbulence for you and your family. Storms can get in the church to cause an entire congregation to fall apart. Many of us have seen this occur even in our own lifetimes. Storms can affect our health. You know, all it takes is one bad report from the doctor, and it can cause our life to end up in a storm. And again, many of us are going through this right now. Storms can come in our lives in so many ways. So those on board this ship, along with Paul, were in an awesome storm, and it kept on raging. The text tells us in verse 18 that on the third day, they started throwing heavy cargo overboard. So as we go through the storms of life, there are things on our ship that we need to get rid of during the storm. If it's weighing you down and it won't let you float like you ought to, it's got to go. There are some relationships, some people are beneficial for your growth, but then some people, you're heading in a direction that they're not ready to go. There's people that we love, but we got to love them from afar. Okay? There's some habits, lifestyles. Sometimes, believe it or not, we're our own worst enemy. And some attitudes that need to be thrown overboard. Because all they're doing is weighing us down. Scriptures tell us that the storm kept raging so that they took down the sails because they could not go against the wind, and they decided to float with the storm. And as it neared to the end of the series of days, some say day 13, Paul realized that the men had reached a state of hopelessness, which is understandable. For you see, all these days they had not been able to even see the sun or the stars. That's a terrible feeling. going through storms and not even being able to see what we call the light at the end of the tunnel, right? When you don't see any light at the end of your storm, it can make you want to give up. In verse 21, Paul decided he would step in and at this point and remind them that they should have listened to him, for he had warned them before they left Crete not to set sail. Paul said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss." Don't we do that sometimes to our loved ones and our friends? We remind them that we told them not to do something, and they did it anyway. And that's when things tend to not go as they plan. Paul said, "I had a visitor tonight. An angel of the Lord came to me, and that angel told me, don't worry, everything will be all right." So I'm here to tell you this morning that in spite of the shaking, in spite of the thunder, in spite of the lightning, in spite of the waves that will seemingly destroy the ship, an angel told me, everything will be all right. Because God's will for me is to make it to Rome. God's got work for me in Rome. And not only did he tell me I was going to make it there, but not one life on board the ship would be lost. Now, the ship is going to be torn up, but not one life would be lost. In this text that we read, Paul has such a strong faith that regardless of what things look like, regardless of what his eyes can see, he believes God more than his own eyes. He perceives that even though they're still in danger, his senses say, you all are going to die in the massive typhoon. But God said, you must go to Rome. There's potential here for a struggle in faith. Almost like when God told Abraham that through him, he would make a great nation, and then later told him to sacrifice his son, his only son. Sometimes we must look to the truthfulness and genuineness of God and let go of our own reasoning and perception. Now, I remember when I was in school, when the teacher said something over, when they were giving their lecture, it might be on the test, right? So I'm going to repeat that because that's a powerful statement I want you to remember. Sometimes we must look to the truthfulness and genuineness of God and let go of our own reasoning and perception. You know, our human nature is to think that we have things under control. We like to be in control. That's the reason why so many times people don't like cruise ships, right? Not just because of the potential for storms like this, right? But also because you're not in control. Same thing happens when you're on a plane, right? Same thing might happen if you're the person who normally drives a vehicle. You're not the person that's driving. I remember my dad, I ride with him. I was driving, and I'm pretty certain that he believed that he had an emergency brake over on his side. Because he would push that brake down, you know, that imaginary brake on his side. And sometimes, I'm pretty certain that I remember this right. Either way, he's not here to dispute it. But I remember that I think he even pushed my foot down on the brake. You know, I wasn't braking as hard. So that idea that you're not in control. At that moment, this wasn't my intention, because we were both in the car, right? If something happens bad, it would happen to both of us. But at that moment, I was in control, and he wasn't. And that actually was a different feeling. Now that I think about that, something that I didn't have much with him, you know? If God says Paul will go to Rome to preach the gospel, Paul is going to Rome to preach. I pray we have that same sort of faith that believes what God says as we find it in the Bible. If God has something in his plans for us, there are no circumstances, situations, trials, or tribulations that can take that off course. Paul was living by faith and not by sight, and so must we. So I have to tell you this morning, the storm is raging, but just like the angel to Paul, I'm here to tell you everything will be all right. This is what I've been telling my wife the last several days in the midst of this tragedy that we're dealing with. Everything's going to be all right. And I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know. And the thing is, we don't have a choice. Right? We just got to keep pressing on. It's all right for somebody else to encourage you, but maybe they're not going through what you're going through. It's easy for them to say, be of good cheer. But it's good to hear somebody say that they're in the same boat that you're in. This is literally the same boat, right? Paul was in the same boat that the captain was in. And the record is that the wind kept on blowing. But you must remember, in the storm, once you receive the news that God is going to deliver you, the devil is going to turn up the volume. He's going to cause that wind to get louder and louder. He's going to cause that lightning to flash even more and the thunder to roll even more. Because I guarantee you there's somebody on that ship who doesn't have the same resolve that Paul does. Somebody's feeling like, man, this is bad.
Those are the ones who are,
if it were now, they'd be calling their loved ones, right? Or texting them, hey, I love you, right? If I don't make it out, right? That's our parallel. But God needs somebody in the storm to have faith and to say, even in the storm, I know it's rough and I know it's hard, but I'm coming out. I know it's difficult and the situation is serious, but I'm coming through. So as we close this morning, if you found yourself in a storm because you failed to listen and you launched out too soon or the storm is lasting too long, don't give up in the storm, but hold on and keep your faith. Because Paul's story ended just the way the Lord had promised. Paul and the entire crew made it safely to the shore. The ship was destroyed, and some of them had to swim to shore. Others made it on broken pieces of the ship. But at the end of the day, they were able to say, we made it. I love this. The ship didn't make it in one piece, but they all made it. No loss of life. God told Paul that he was going to go to Rome to preach and that everyone who was on the ship would also be saved. This is an important example that even lost people receive some level of blessing from God because of their association with Christians. You ever think about that? Things that people are around us, blessings come their way just because of the fact that they're associated with us and they're affiliated with us. Same thing happened here. Everyone on that ship would live because they were on the same boat as Paul, and God wasn't through with Paul yet. Now we're talking about, these are people who are prisoners now. That means that they were accused of doing something wrong. And even still, that could have been easily the end of their story. But God. Do we ever stop to consider that the trials that we go through and how we handle them are ministering to others about God's ability to save us? You know, my brother sent me a message the other day, and he was talking in the message. It was a screenshot from one of his really good friends. And his friend in the message was saying how, you know, he had given his life to Christ. This is a friend of his who is, he's married. He has a child now. And, you know, I think the fragility of his life, I think, is kind of in the forefront now. He realizes that it's not just me. I'm not just living for me anymore. And so he was saying to my brother that he had given his life to Christ. And, you know, he was really inspired by the way that we, my brother and the rest of us, talked about my dad at his funeral. And this is not the first time that he has said this to my brother, because my brother's told me before. And so my brother was using that as a example of what we're going through right now in my branch of the family. He said, you know, it's hard right now, but just know that people are watching. People are watching how you handle situations. You know, one of the things that happened with my wife's mom, as she watched her mom fading away, one of the statements that she made, this is a true story, she said, and she kind of directed this to me almost, it was, why is God allowing this to happen to her? She was a faithful servant. But for me to be able to answer that question, I'd have to understand why God's will is what it is. Right? I can't comfortably give her an answer to that question because I don't know. Right? But I know he's in control. You know, my dad used to always talk about how, you know, and he would use this in a way that, you know, when we want to, you know, we know the saying, you know, the vengeance is mine, says the Lord. But we want to help God out, right? We want, God, I know you got planes you got to keep in the sky. You got the cruise ships and boats you got to keep on the water, cars. I need to help you, right? God doesn't need help. He was in that very moment at that very time. right? And it was almost as if
we were holding her hand, just waiting to relay her over to God, right?
So God puts us in these situations to be able to minister to other people, right? It happens all the time. So we need to stop for a second and look at our situations. We tend to feel like, oh, woe is me. Why is God putting me through this situation? Why am I going through this right now? But the reality is that oftentimes it's not even for us. It's for someone else. Sister Lynette and I talked about that at the end of Bible study, right? I talked about how, and I shared this with you all, you know, in Alicia's family, it's been at least a significant loss. It's been about 15 years, you know, which was literally right before her and I started dating. Where she, I mean, there's been losses, and I'm not acting like, I'm not trying to qualify losses, you know, well, this one wasn't bad, but it was when her grandfather passed. But I said, anybody that's known me, you know, 15 years, I can name you 15 people. Maybe that's an exaggeration, you know, but quite close, right? But I also have a larger family, right? But I feel like God is using me in this very moment to minister to her and her family. You know, the day that we were there, and this is, you know, when you're talking about something hard, we were sitting on the couch. Her mom called her. And we kind of felt like we knew what, you know how you get the call, you know what the call is. She put her mom on speaker. Her mom said, "Mom has transitioned." So at that moment, Alicia got up, she put her clothes on, she knew to go down to the house. So I'm feeling powerless because I'm thinking, I'm every day preceding this day, I've been able to be there for her, right there at her side. Well, the kids are in there in the bed asleep. I can't leave them here. I need to be with her, but I got to be here. So I call my mom, just saying, "Hey, Mom," because I know she'd been praying for her mom, for her grandma. You know, she passed. So my mom said, "Okay." So a few minutes later, she called back. She said, "I'm on the way. I'm getting my clothes on. I'll be there in a few minutes." So, okay, so I'm, you know, getting myself ready. Then she calls back and she says, "Artrell, your sister, she's on the way. She's a teacher. She don't have nothing to do. It's summertime, you know. And she's young. She's a young person, so they stay up late anyway. They doing nothing. I don't know what they're doing, but she came over, and so I was able to go over there. But I'm saying all this to say, the funeral people hadn't gotten there yet, which meant that we were there when they brought the gurney in, and they took her out. And I'm realizing that I'm here for this moment. So when we went on home, it was time to go home, you know, giving my farewells to everyone. And her mom said, I'm glad you're part of this family. I'm glad you're part of this family. And that meant so much to me because it gave me the purpose of why I was there in that moment. Now, that may not be the reason why all those things happened over those 15 years. But that could be a minuscule part of God's plan for my life, right? And, you know, we don't know what his plans are for us unless we're living in relationship with him. See, that's the important. See, I can't know the intricacies of your life if I'm not a part of your life, right? We know God is not going anywhere. He's staying put. But the problem is, we start going all these different places, right? And we forget where home is, right? Do we trust that God will do what he said he will do? I'm glad that even in a storm, the Lord still has the last word. So I want you to look to your neighbor right now and say, "Neighbor, no matter how long," I didn't hear y'all, "no matter how long or how strong the storm is in life, you will make it." Amen, amen, amen. Knowing this, I want you to keep on praying, keep on believing, and keep on trusting. But whatever you do, don't give up in the storm. I'm encouraged this morning knowing that my soul is anchored to the same one that was led up Calvary's hill early one Friday, bearing the sins of the world on his shoulders. Brother Jerry said, I was on his mind. You all were on his mind. He hung, bled, and died for the sins of the world until the redemption's price was paid in full. He died until we were justified and died until the debt for sin was satisfied. But thank God he didn't stay dead. But early that first day morning, he rose with all power in his hand. I'm here to tell you this morning, many times you see your brothers and sisters smiling, but you don't know what they're going through. You see them shaking hands and telling people to hang in there, but you don't know what they're going through. But we encourage one another with the words, don't give up. A hymn writer once said, like a ship that is tossed and driven, I've been battered by an angry sea. When the storms of life are raging and its fury falls on me, I wonder what I have done to make my race so hard to run. But I say to my soul, take courage. The Lord will make a way somehow. So maybe you're going through a storm this morning. My dad would always say, you either been through a storm, you're in a storm, or you will go through a storm. If our lives are linked trustfully and obediently to Christ, we can have peace and we can be of good cheer regardless of the storms that might be raging. So how do we get linked up with Jesus? John 3:16 said it so beautifully. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But we know believing in him is just the beginning. To access eternal life, the scriptures tell us that we must hear God's word. You heard a portion of that this morning. Romans 10, verses 14 through 17. We must believe that word. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We must repent of our past sins. Luke 2:38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We must confess Jesus as the Son of God, Romans 10:9 and 10. We must be buried with Christ in the watery grave of baptism, Mark 16:15 and 16. And then we must continue living steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, Hebrews 10:25. So if you're already a child of God and you haven't been handling those storms like you know you should, God is here to forgive. His grace and his mercy are available to us. All you have to do is ask. Wherever you find yourself this morning, God's invitation is open for you. Whatever your needs are this morning, please make them known as we stand and sing our song of invitation.